are listening to The Life of Jesus Christ in a Year, from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich, from TAN. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I will be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations, available from TAN. Before we get to today's reading, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Jesus Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you are blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings, we graciously ask for the intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the Most Holy Lamb of God and through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day 2, and in this episode, we will continue reading from Volume 1, Chapters 3 and 4. Chapter 3, Adam and Eve. I saw Adam created, not in paradise, but in the region in which Jerusalem was subsequently situated. I saw him coming forth glittering and white from a mound of yellow earth, as if out of a mold. The sun was shining, and I thought I was only a child when I saw it, that the sunbeams drew Adam out of the hillock. He was, as it were, born of the virgin earth. God blessed the earth, and it became his mother. He did not instantly step forth from the earth. Some time elapsed before his appearance. He lay in the hillock on his left side, his arm thrown over his head, a light vapor covering him as with a veil. I saw a figure in his right side, and I became conscious that it was Eve, and that she would be drawn from him in paradise by God. God called him. The hillock opened, and Adam stepped gently forth. There were no trees around, only little flowers. I had seen the animals also coming forth from the earth in pure singleness, the females separate from the males. And now I saw Adam, born up on high to a garden to paradise. God led all the animals before him in paradise, and he named them. They followed him and gambolled around him, for all things served him before he sinned. All that he named afterward followed him to earth. Eve had not yet been formed from him. I saw Adam in paradise, among the plants and flowers, and not far from the fountain that played in its center. He was awaking, as if from sleep. Although his person was more like to flesh than to spirit, yet he was dazzling white. He wondered at nothing, nor was he astonished at his own existence. He went around among the trees and the animals, as if he were used to them all, like a man inspecting his fields. Near the tree by the water arose a hill. On it I saw Adam reclining on his left side, his left hand under his cheek. God sent a deep sleep on him, and he was wrapped in vision. Then from his right side, from the same place in which the side of Jesus was opened by the lance, God drew Eve. I saw her small and delicate, but she quickly increased in size until full grown. She was exquisitely beautiful. Were it not for the fall, all would be born in the same way, in tranquil slumber. The hill opened, and at Adam's side arose a crystalline rock, formed apparently of precious stones. At Eve's lay a white valley covered with something like fine white pollen. When Eve had been formed, I saw that God gave something or allowed something to flow upon Adam. It was as if there streamed from the Godhead, apparently in human form, currents of light from forehead, mouth, breast, and hands. They united into a globe of light, which entered Adam's right side, whence Eve had been taken. Adam alone received it. It was the germ of God's blessing, which was threefold. The blessing that Abraham received from the angel was one. It was of similar form, but not so luminous. Eve arose before Adam, and he gave her his hand. They were like two unspeakably noble and beautiful children, perfectly luminous and clothed with beams of light as with a veil. From Adam's mouth, I saw issuing a broad stream of glittering light, and upon his forehead was an expression of great majesty. Around his mouth played a sunbeam, but there was none around Eve's. I saw Adam's heart very much the same as in men of the present day, but his breast was surrounded by rays of light. In the middle of his heart, I saw a sparkling halo of glory. In it was a tiny figure, as if holding something in its hand. I think it symbolized the third person of the Godhead. From the hands and feet of Adam and Eve shot rays of light. Their hair fell in five glittering tresses, two from the temples, two behind the ears, and one from the back of the head. I have always thought that by the wounds of Jesus, there were opened anew in the human body portals closed by Adam's sin. I have been given to understand that Longinus opened in Jesus' side the gate of regeneration to eternal life. Therefore, no one entered heaven while that gate was closed. The glittering beams on Adam's head denoted his abundant fruitfulness, his glory, his connection with other radiations, and all this shining beauty is restored to glorified souls and bodies. Our hair is the ruined, the extinct glory, and as is their hair of ours to rays of light, so is our present flesh to that of Adam before the fall. The sunbeams around Adam's mouth bore reference to a holy posterity from God, which, had it not been for the fall, would have been effectuated by the spoken word. Adam stretched forth his hand to Eve. They left the charming spot of Eve's creation and went through paradise looking at everything, rejoicing in everything. That place was the highest in paradise. All was more radiant, more resplendent there than elsewhere. Chapter 4, The Tree of Life and the Tree of Knowledge. In the center of the glittering garden, I saw a sheet of water in which lay an island connected with the opposite land by a pier. Both island and pier were covered with beautiful trees, but in the middle of the former stood one more magnificent than the others. It towered high over them as if guarding them. Its roots extended over the whole island, as did also its branches, which were broad below and tapering to a point above. Its boughs were horizontal, and from them arose others like little trees. The leaves were fine, the fruit yellow and sessile in a leafy calyx, like a budding rose. It was something like a cedar. I do not remember ever having seen Adam, Eve, or any animal near that tree on the island. But I saw beautiful, noble-looking white birds and heard them singing in its branches. That tree was the tree of life. Just before the pier that led to the island stood the tree of knowledge. The trunk was scaly like that of the palm. The leaves, which spread out directly from the stem, were very large and broad, in shape like the sole of a shoe. Hidden in the forepart of the leaves hung the fruit, clustering in fives, one in front and four around the stem. The yellow fruit had something of the shape of an apple, though more of the nature of a pear or fig. It had five ribs, uniting in a little cavity. It was pulpy like a fig inside, of the color of brown sugar, and streaked with red veins. The tree was broader above than below, and its branches struck deep roots into the ground. I see a species of this tree still in warm countries. Its branches throw down shoots to the earth, where they root and rise as new trunks. These in turn send forth branches, and so one such tree often covers a large tract of country. Whole families dwell under the dense foliage. At some distance to the right of the tree of knowledge, I saw a small, oval, gently sloping hill of glittering red grains and all kinds of precious stones. It was terraced with crystals. Around it were splendor trees, just high enough to intercept the view. Plants and herbs grew around it, and they, like the trees, bore colored blossoms and nutritious fruits. At some distance to the left of the tree of knowledge, I saw a slope, a little dale. It looked like soft clay or like mist, and it was covered with tiny white flowers and pollen. Here, too, were various kinds of vegetation, but all colorless, more like pollen than fruit. It seemed as if these two, the hill and the dale, bore some reference to each other, as if the hill had been taken out of the dale, or as if something from the former was to be transplanted into the latter. They were to each other what the seed is to the field. Both seemed to me holy, and I saw that both, but especially the hill, shone with light. Between them and the tree of knowledge arose different kinds of trees and bushes. They were all like everything else in nature, transparent, as if formed of light. These two places were the abodes of our first parents. The tree of knowledge separated them. I think that God, after the creation of Eve, pointed out those places to them. I saw that Adam and Eve were little together at first. I saw them perfectly free from passion, each in a separate abode. The animals were indescribably noble, looking and resplendent, and they served Adam and Eve. All had, according to their kind, certain retreats, abodes, and walks apart. The different spheres contained in themselves some great mystery of the divine law, and all were connected with one another. This concludes our reading today for day number 2. We've covered chapters 3 and 4. And maybe the first thing, as we reflect upon these readings, and just yesterday we had the reading of the creation of earth and the fall of the angels, and might I recommend that, as right now we're in the very beginning of creation, and this is probably something I'll recommend, I'm guessing, as we continue, as we go throughout this book, is that I really think we should be using it as a companion to the scriptures. That just as we're hearing about Adam and Eve today and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life, that we go to Genesis. And because I didn't recommend this in day 1, I would read the first few chapters of Genesis. Read them up until the fall, because we'll be covering the fall in our reading tomorrow. And so, see the scriptures, Genesis, for example, and then as you read it, now that you've heard Anne Catherine Emmerich, like, how do the two go together? This is a series called The Life of Jesus Christ, And the four-volume books says the life of Jesus Christ and biblical revelations. It's why we're covering in this reading already the creation of the heavens and the earth. And as we go throughout, we're going to have sections about Job and about Melchizedek and Joseph and so many others. So this is meant to be a companion to the scriptures. So not only can we appreciate these mystical revelations and writings of Anne Catherine Emmerich, but they draw us to the scriptures themselves. The scriptures are public revelation. These revelations of Anne Catherine Emmerich, private revelation. One need not believe in them, but these private revelations can enrich our appreciation of the public revelation. And that's why you and I are reading and reflecting together now on the life of Jesus Christ and biblical revelations throughout the next year. We know in the fullness of revelation now, and in the teachings of the church and the tradition, that Jesus is called the new Adam. Notice the similarities, and even Anne Catherine Emmerich points it out for us. She makes the connections in some of the places for us, but here's one of them. The sun was shining, and I thought that the sunbeams drew Adam out of the hillock. He was, as it were, born of the virgin earth. God blessed the earth, and it became his mother. So just that language, virgin earth. So Adam being formed from the dust of the earth. We know Adam is this image of Jesus. You know, Jesus is the new Adam in typology. And didn't we hear that from the side of Adam, the same side pierced by the sword, piercing Jesus, that is, that from that side, it's Eve being brought forth in the creation account here. Very profound. God called him. The hillock opened and Adam stepped gently forth. God called Adam into being. In our life, God calls us. Jeremiah, we know, he tells us. He tells us that in the womb, God knew us and had a plan for us. And so when we are created and when we come forth from the womb, God calls us and God has a plan for us as a result. Well, look at the animals and their subservience to Adam. God led all the animals before him in paradise and he named them. So just imagine this. This is like one of those images that you could just close your eyes and see Adam bringing one by one the animals, that God is bringing the animals to Adam. And they followed Adam around, and Adam gave them names. And you can almost just picture this, just as Anne Catherine Emmerich yesterday was talking about having these different images in her mind of these events. Well, we kind of can visualize it too a little bit. I have always thought that by the wounds of Jesus, there were opened anew in the human body portals closed by Adam's sin. I have been given to understand that Longinus opened in Jesus' side the gate of regeneration to eternal life. Therefore, no one entered heaven while that gate was closed. So again, that parallel, that connection, Adam to Jesus, very rich. And I think it makes us appreciate some of these subtle things that we hear about Adam in our creation accounts now. Turning our attention and commenting on chapter 4 then, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge. I am a lover of birds. I feed the birds in my backyard. I love hummingbirds. And so I just delight in this reference to the birds. I do not remember ever having seen Adam and Eve or any animal near that tree on the island, but I saw beautiful, noble-looking white birds and heard them singing in its branches. That tree was the tree of life. Maria Vagreda, the other mystical revelations that I had the honor to read, I wrote a piece on this, actually, that was published, but it was about Mary's relationship to the birds, as Maria Vagreda commented and told, and I just marveled at it, just as I marvel at the birds there in this creation account. I also want us just to appreciate Anne Catherine Emmerich's vivid descriptions. It was pulpy, like a fig inside, of the color of brown sugar, and streaked with blood-red veins. The tree was broader than below, and its branches struck deep roots into the ground. And it goes on. But just the descriptions, that here she is recounting whatever it is that she's seen, and she's providing that for us. I think the very descriptive nature kind of gives credence, you know, to what she's saying or suggesting. But even in that line, so when we read something, sometimes we can see a deeper spiritual truth that is underneath it all. So that description of the tree was broader, its branches struck deep roots into the ground. Well, just take that line, deep roots into the ground. There's a spiritual lesson there for us, that we want to have our roots planted deeply in Jesus Christ, that we want our roots deeply planted in the church, that we want our spiritual roots deeply planted in the Word of God and in the sacraments and so forth. But it's taking one little thing that we just heard in the writings of Anne Catherine Emmerich and really translating it with a spiritual purpose and a spiritual meaning. These two places were the abodes of our first parents. The tree of knowledge separated them. I think that God, after the creation of Eve, pointed out those places to them. Just thinking about, this is where Adam and Eve lived. Just another little thing to ponder over. Okay, we've heard about the creation of the Garden of Eden, and just to think about Adam and Eve existing there, loving one another, abiding with all of these animals, knowing that God is there too. And finally, the different spheres contained in themselves some great mystery of the divine law, and all were connected with one another. So just to realize that everything is connected, that when God, who is the author and origin of all things, creates, everything is connected. And the very fact it's created by God. And so to be able to appreciate this connection that God has made in the world and with the world and through the world, all were connected with one another. Well, that's true for all created beings, that we are all connected. We are all connected in being children of God and brothers and sisters of Christ. Let us not forget that. This brings us to a close of our reading and reflection for today. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emmerichpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. I hope you'll join us next time as we continue meditating on the life of Jesus Christ and biblical revelation with the help of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until then, may God bless you, and Mary pray for you.